The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. Just in time for Father's Day, it's their I Love You Guys powder for your nards. Whether you wear briefs, boxers, or you go commando, if you love your guys, you'll definitely want to use I Love You Guys talc-free powder for your nards. A zingy cooling powder, talc-free with tea tree oil and Japanese peppermint oil, and also with a dash of zinc oxide for extra absorbency. Only $10 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BobAndChez, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Argent call, gentlemen. Well, you can't expect us to...
You know the rules of the exchange, Mr. Duke. All accounts to be settled at the end of the day's trading, without exception.
You know perfectly well we don't have $394 million in cash.
I'm sorry, boys. Put the Duke Brothers seats on the exchange up for sale at once. Seize all assets of Duke and Duke Commodities Brokers, as well as all personal holdings of Randolph and Mortimer Duke.
My God. We're ruined.
This is an outrage. I demand an investigation. You can't sell our seats. A Duke has been sitting on this exchange since it was founded. We founded this exchange. It's ours. It belongs to us.
My God.
Mortimer, your brother's not well. We better call an ambulance.
F*** him. Now you listen to me. I want trading reopened right now. Get those brokers back in here. Turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
Making your day a little brighter is quite enough for us.
California.
Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
California. California.
It is Tuesday, June 7, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska, that is Chez Pazienza sitting right over there. Hello. Oh, yeah, I got to turn on your microphone. There you go. Oh, hi.
Oh, thank you.
There. There we go.
I might have just said something really, really important, and you didn't hear it.
Was it your home state of
California?
Yes.
All right. We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen, who's the best lawyer in the world. If you need free legal advice, go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or just click the link of the podcast page. Even if you live in
California.
Right. I'm doing this because it's the
California
primary today. That's why I'm using this.
California.
Because it's fun to hear Arnold Schwarzenegger say
California.
All right. God, where do I begin? Chez, what do we talk about first? Jesus, there's so many things today.
There are.
I guess the first thing I should talk about, before we get into the Associated Press, before we get into the primary, before we get into Trump, there's a lot of Trump stuff today, too, of course. Here was my voting experience today, because I am now a resident of
California.
And so, therefore, I had to vote today in
California.
And, it was not easy. It was not easy. Here's why. Partly my mistake, partly the mistake of
California.
So I registered in time, right? I got all the paperwork done and everything's done. I was all registered and set up. And they sent me a vote by mail thing. And I said, well, I'm not going to vote by mail. I like to go in and I like to pull the lever or press the button. I like to press buttons on a machine at a place where you're supposed to vote. That's what I like to do. I like to go. It's a whole ritual. I like to go and do it physically where the voting machine is in front of me. And I cast my vote and I do the whole thing. And I walk out and I feel good about participating in the democratic process here in
California.
Yeah. What?
I never do that. I always vote by mail. absentee or whatever other way I can do to not have to go deal with that.
But see, I mean, I've always done it. I did it that way in Virginia. I did it that way in Pennsylvania. I did it that way in Hawaii. And I thought I could do it that way in
California.
But the problem is that, unbeknownst to me, and I only found out about this today, is that there's no polling place in my precinct. It's a vote-by-mail-only precinct.
Oh, okay.
Since when has that been a thing? There is no place to go and vote anymore, to even put a slip of paper into a ballot box. Doesn't exist in my precinct here in my little neck of the woods here in
California.
So the problem is, I hadn't voted, of course, by mail. And the only way for me to vote was by mail. So what I had to do was I had to drive 20 minutes away to the voter registration office and go in there and vote there using a vote by mail ballot. And that is the problem. I actually ended up going to a place and physically voting anyway, along with countless other people. I stood in a big long line and got a form that I needed to fill out. I filled out that form, then went around the corner, brought the form to another desk, had that person take the form and hand me my official vote-by-mail ballot, had my name and address and everything already on there. It was like they already knew I was coming.
How nice.
I don't know what this process was all about, because there ended up being a physical polling place when they said that there was no physical polling place and that I could only vote by mail. So that was my adventure today. What was normally going to be a 20-minute process turned into a 2.5-hour ordeal with driving and figuring out and researching online and finding out, making phone calls, where do I go, what do I do? And as it turns out, it was the thing that I expected in the first place. So all's well that ends well, I guess. So I did cast my ballot. You know, I'm blaming the establishment.
Sure, why not? It's always the establishment.
The establishment.
It's always the establishment and Shillery.
Yeah.
With the dollar sign.
So that, I guess that brings us to the not the celebratory music that we would have normally, because the first female nominee for President of the United States has been officially handed down by the Associated Press.
Yeah, and that's somehow cause for wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the problem. I mean, I see both the good and the bad in what the AP did. The bad is that, why Monday night?
Yeah, never give voters a chance to say, oh, I don't have to do this.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's the problem. I mean, it could. My guess was that they did their normal Monday night roundup of calling all of the. Or maybe it didn't take place Monday night, but maybe during the day, they called around to all of the superdelegates, who are you voting for, who are you endorsing, and the ones who had always endorsed Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders both, you know, voiced all of their votes, and they had some additional ones, plus Puerto Rico from over the weekend as far as pledged delegates go, and they came up with their number and they said, well, let's just do it now. Let's just announce now.
We'll do it live!
Which was strange timing, given that the big primary is today and that the big moment to announce would have been Tuesday night. And of course, here we are. We're recording the show on Tuesday. It's June 7th. We don't know who's going to win New Jersey or California at this point. So while we're talking,
I think New Jersey's pretty much a lock.
Yeah, yeah.
California, who knows? Usually when the polling is not significant toward Clinton, Sanders has managed to, if not pull out, like just squeak by, then come somewhat close. So who knows? Honestly, who knows what's going to happen?
We'll see.
But either way, the delegates will be divided up, you know, the delegates will be divided up accordingly, and right. Nothing will really move.
Now, see, I mean, I immediately thought, well, this is going to be trouble when I first saw the AP news come down. I think this is going to be trouble because it's going to be a decision from the AP news desk about this race that has been so contentious, and they haven't even, Hillary Clinton hasn't even cleared the pledged delegate majority threshold yet, but she will most likely tonight. But knowing that they called it last night before she clinches the pledged delegate majority today, I knew right away, this is going to be trouble. This is going to be a big disaster.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, it was done so late.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to say that people who were going to vote will still vote today.
That's true.
You know, if it had been done 3-4 days in advance, I think that would have cooled the heels of people who were going to go out today and vote. I don't think that this will stop people from voting.
I don't know. I mean, it was all over the news this morning, early. You know, and honestly, I mean, there are a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters who are really, 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 really pissed off at the AP.
In what way?
I know.
That's the new thing. How?
But the irony here is that
don't you dare report facts to me.
That announcement. To me, right away, I thought, this is going to negatively impact Hillary Clinton. I mean, if we look back to Michigan, for example, when everyone kind of thought, well, Hillary Clinton's got this, Michigan swung wildly in the other direction because, from some accounts, Hillary Clinton people stayed home or they switched over to vote against Donald Trump because they thought it was in the bag. And no, it wasn't in the bag by any stretch of the imagination, and it turned out something else.
You know what? It's funny because I'm not an average person in terms of I follow politics very closely now. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell. No. I can't tell what the average voter is thinking. Somebody who is not immersed in this crap 24/7.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would be inclined to say that if you're somebody who's voting for Hillary Clinton because you really like Hillary Clinton, I would hope that something like this doesn't just completely deter you.
Right.
I mean, I would hope that you're at least looking at the polls going, okay, you know what, this could be a close race if I really support this person, as you would with any candidate. You know, all right, look, I can see that you know, the polls are showing it might be a close race. I got to go out and show my support. You know, this is the person I believe in, that kind of thing. But who the hell knows?
Well, I will say that at my de facto polling place, which wasn't officially my polling place, but happened to become my polling place because of these cascading series of events. But the thing is, I was surrounded in line by Bernie people. They were all talking.
Not surprised by that.
Almost everyone there who were voting were, at least who I heard from, were Bernie people, and they were being obvious about it. They weren't like proselytizing or anything, but they were talking among themselves about the election and about Bernie Sanders. And so I was this should be really, this will be an interesting day, won't it?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll find out. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's going to win California, but the fact of the matter is that it really doesn't matter at this point.
It kind of does. I mean, look, you know,
I mean,
what?
I hate to put it that way,
I'm a little bit concerned because we all know that even if it doesn't impact electoral math one bit, when Bernie pulls out any kind of a victory, even if he just squeaks by, he and his followers consider it, you know, Bernie momentum. Yep. And oh my God, look, it's so huge, such a huge victory, and that may make Bernie decide to keep going.
Yeah.
Which he just shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, he just shouldn't. He has, by the end of today, he will have effectively lost.
Right.
And you know what? To keep going is just, you put it best in Salon, and I'm writing about it now. It's, you know what, you die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Exactly.
And he is very, very close to being, and he skirted that edge for quite a while now, but he's very close to crossing that line and to becoming a villain where he's just going to be a spoiler. He'll gain nothing out of it. In fact, he'll lose a lot. Personally, he will lose a lot, but he will gain absolutely nothing. But he will keep on fighting, and what he will do will diminish the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. It will help to bolster a Trump candidacy, which, I'm sorry, should be absolutely unthinkable to anybody with a conscience.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, there are basically three courses of action for Bernie Sanders to go with right now. There's three paths for Bernie Sanders moving forward after today. The one option is concede, unify the party, throw support behind Hillary Clinton, bring everyone together. I mean, to me, that's the most reasonable option. It's going to be extraordinarily difficult. I completely understand that. But it's something that is part of the game. It's part of politics. I mean, look at Al Gore in 2000. 500 votes separated him and the presidency, and he stepped away because to continue challenging it would have destroyed his reputation. And with a destroyed reputation, Al Gore would not have had the stature to put the climate crisis front and center during the during most of the Bush administration. Al Gore was the go-to guy on the climate crisis, even going beyond the Bush administration. And he was a guy who delivered a barn burner of a speech against the Iraq war. None of that would have happened if he had continued to besmirch his reputation by challenging the results of the 2000 election on and on and on in perpetuity. All right, so there's that. The other option is for Bernie Sanders to continue forward and lobby superdelegates to switch over to him, which the odds of actually that actually working are slim and none. He may get a few, but he's not going to get the hundreds that he needs, especially when the press has called it for Hillary. Hillary's got a majority of pledged delegates. Hillary's got an advantage in popular votes. These are all factors that will work against Bernie Sanders doing that. The other option is the long shot Hail Mary option that will ultimately destroy Bernie Sanders, and that is to run as an independent candidate, run it as a third-party candidate, team up with Jill Stein or whatever they're talking about. No, none of that's going to work, right? Even number two, you know, going after the superdelegates, taking the campaign all the way into the convention and ballyhooing the idea of a contested convention, that's going to work against Bernie Sanders' reputation as well. Because what he really needs is he really needs the people who are part of that establishment. Because, and I'll tell you why, it's not just about winning the presidency, it's not about winning the nomination, it's about Bernie Sanders being able to do the basics of what a senator does in the United States Congress, to actually form coalitions with some of those establishment people to get his legislation through. Otherwise, they're going to banish him to the outskirts of the legislative process.
Yeah, they'll basically send him off to Siberia.
Exactly right. They're going to stick him on an ice float and push him out to sea. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Which, quite frankly, if he ushers in or even comes close to ushering in a President Trump, he will deserve every single drop of that resentment.
That's right. And the real risk is the number three option, which would become a pariah in American politics.
Absolutely.
He would become far worse than anyone has regarded Ralph Nader in the subsequent years after what Ralph Nader did in 2000 by horking votes from Al Gore. And so, you know, people don't really look at Ralph Nader anymore the way they used to, do they?
I mean, not at all.
Yeah. I mean, he's this guy, he's this spoiler who got in and handed the presidency basically over to George W. Bush. And so for Bernie Sanders to do that, I mean, I think that would be so heartbreaking for so many reasons for him to go that route. And look, I really do understand. I really do sympathize with everyone who has fought so hard for the last year to get Bernie Sanders this close. And I wrote this in my Salon piece. And God damn it, if most of the people who are complaining to me right now and trolling me in my Twitter feed would at least read this one fucking paragraph, they would get that I'm not just some fucking Hillary shill or whatever the fuck they're calling me.
Dude, you can't win.
No, I can't.
I'm sorry, you can be as reasoned as humanly possible. And if you are not pro Bernie, then you are, you know, an enemy of the state.
But you know,
an enemy of the revolution.
But I've said it point blank on numerous occasions that I think what Bernie has been able to do is worthy of congratulations. It's a monumental thing to come this close against the Clinton machine. It's a monumental thing to inject what have formerly been regarded as far left fringe ideas into the mainstream. Ideas like single payer and breaking up the big banks, reinstating Glass-Steagall, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These are all things that Bernie Sanders has successfully done and reinserted all these ideas into the debate. And now it's okay for mainstream Democrats to talk about these things, whereas prior to Bernie Sanders, they couldn't because they were foreign ideas. They didn't. It's like, oh my God, so you're going to bring up single payer? You're crazy. But Bernie Sanders has mainstreamed this, and that is a massive, massive success. And I acknowledge that, and I recognize that, and I, quite frankly, I always have. The problem is that all of that goes away if Bernie Sanders does not proceed forward in a more dignified way. And I'm not saying that he's got to grovel. I'm not saying that he's got to acknowledge all of the Hillary bots and so forth and all of the shovel fighting that's going on online. I'm not saying that any of those people need to be given any sort of credence or acknowledgement. I'm just saying that from a reputation point of view, from a continuing the political revolution point of view, from a basic legislating point of view in the United States Senate, I think at this point, after California, after New Jersey, after today's primaries, this is the only thing he can do. The other two options will destroy Bernie Sanders. He'll always have his people. There's no doubt about that. But Bernie Sanders and, by proxy, his people will become pariahs in the party. They'll no longer be welcome at the table. So therefore, they are self-marginalizing themselves.
Right. But they don't care. Yeah. I mean, you know, I would like to think that Bernie Sanders cares. Yeah. Right. But his rabid disciples, they don't care.
No, they don't. I mean, I don't expect them to care at this point. I just expect them to, at some point, maybe this week, maybe early next week, to grit their teeth and acknowledge the facts on the ground. And these are the facts on the ground. All right, we're way late for break. Let's talk about Harry's Razors. Okay, you know, I picked up my dad a Harry's starter set. I didn't realize I could have picked up my dad for Father's Day a special limited edition shave set for Father's Day. Get one for Dad, get one for yourself too while you're at it. Harry's shaving set will make the perfect Father's Day gift. It looks cool, it feels special, and it's something that Dad will actually use. Dads can be impossible to shop for. You know, mine is too. You don't want to get another tie or a pair of socks he's never going to wear, but you also don't want to get something that is practical, it doesn't feel special enough to be a gift. I'm giving my dad the gift of no more razor burn. Harry's offers a high-quality German-engineered shave that's better for your face and your wallet. Why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for half price at harrys.com? They have a starter set, too. It's an amazing deal. The one I got for my dad. For just $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and 3 razor blades with a money-back satisfaction guarantee. Stand up against overpriced store-bought blades in their protective glass display cases with Harry's Razors. Go to harrys.com, enter the promo code BANDC for $5 off your first Harry's shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs with Harry's Razors. That's HARRYS.com.
Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back to our Tuesday show. It's the doing all right. California primary day.
California.
So we're talking about the obviously the Democratic side of the entire process. God, I was called shill today. A shrill.
Of
I was called shrill. Not shill.
Have you not been called that yet?
Shrill? I haven't been called shrill yet ever. Today's the first time.
Were you called a shill, though?
I was called a shill, and I was called shrill with an R in there.
Yeah, did they put a dollar sign in front of the shrill?
I don't know.
All right,
no.
Because seriously, like, the joke that me and Justin Rosario from Left Wing Nation have about, like, the Bernie bingo card, it's so true. It's, you know, there are these pieces that I've written where I've said specifically, here is what commenters are going to say. Here are the exact meaningless fucking buzzwords that they're going to bust out. Shillery and corporatist and that kind of crap. You know, here's exactly what they're going to say, almost daring them. You know, let's see if they're self-aware enough to realize that I just pre-called them out. And sure enough, they can't help themselves. Shillery. And I'm like, okay, thank you. There's shillery on my bingo card. All I need now is to get the little birdie in the middle.
Yeah. You know, what I'm trying to understand where the conspiracy is. Because generally, when there's a conspiracy theory, and I'm not using that in the pejorative sense. I'm not using it in the Alex Jones sense. Legitimately, there can be things called conspiracy theories, which then eventually lead to, facts. And usually when there's a conspiracy theory, it's it's precipitated by something that comes out of the ordinary. So this is, and I'm trying to do this in a way that I'm being as safe space as possible with it. Every 4 years, when there are Democratic primaries, the publications of record call around and they count up all of the superdelegates and they keep track of them. They're not just saying that these people are superdelegates putting their support behind candidate X or candidate Y just by making it up. They're actually researching and finding out from these people where their votes are going to be come the convention. And those reports and that tally has always been the documentation of record for compiling superdelegate numbers. All right. So from what I see in this process, there is nothing different about the tallying of superdelegates this year than there was 4 years ago or 4 years ago prior to
that. And that's what it comes down to. You know, I love this story about how Bernie Sanders, right after Obama, clinched the nomination, Bernie Sanders backed him. And Hillary Clinton hadn't dropped out of the race yet. You know, Obama had just done it. And how did Obama do it? He did it through a combination of pledge delegates and, yes, super delegates.
That's right.
8 years ago, there was nothing controversial about Obama doing it with super delegates.
Right.
Because all super delegates are, I mean, sure, they can change their mind. They won't. That's the thing. That's the kind of logic that we've seen from the Bernie campaign, from its most zealous supporters for so long now.
Well, the difference
they haven't voted yet, and they could change their mind, but they freaking won't.
The difference is that they started to change their mind 4 years ago after Iowa. I mean, they started to switch after Iowa. So right. There was a slow, gradual process throughout the entire primary process. There was never a process that occurred after the primaries were over. So like after the press called it for Barack Obama having enough delegates that Hillary Clinton dropped out of the race and threw her support behind Obama. And then suddenly the superdelegates are going, well, I don't know. What are we doing here? And then suddenly they're switching their votes. That doesn't happen and has never happened, especially in a situation where you have, for better or worse, and I want to underscore that as well, for better or worse, Hillary Clinton will have, after today, she'll have a majority of the pledged delegates. She'll have at least 2,026. All right, she's got a vast majority of the popular vote. That's all she needs. She's not a fringe candidate. She's not like the Donald Trump of the Democratic Party. She's not this fringe crazy candidate, and this whole establishment is going, oh my God, what's going on? This is crazy. We've got this crackpot, and suddenly she's become the front runner, and she's got all these pledged delegates. We have to reverse this. None of that discussion is taking place. This is a respected politician in the Democratic Party, someone who was a United States senator and served quite well, Secretary of State, served quite well. First lady served quite well. This is, I mean, again, it's not some far out space nut who's coming in and doing this that the superdelegates suddenly have to say, whoa, hold on there. And I know that's the original purpose of the superdelegate. The purpose of the superdelegates was to make sure that the people didn't necessarily, and I know how undemocratic this sounds. I completely recognize it. To make sure that the people don't choose a far out space nut, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And so if that ever happens one day in the future, there are superdelegates to say, no, we don't want the Democratic version of Trump to be the nominee. So we're going to reverse this. That's not the case this year. Okay, so the idea of Bernie continuing on past today to pursue superdelegates, obviously his prerogative. It's his reputation. It's his career in the Senate. He can do whatever the hell he wants. The fact remains, though, that he's not going to poach any superdelegates because they're not poachable. They're not going to change their mind. He may get a few. If he pulls out a win in California, which is entirely possible, he could pick off a few. But he's not going to change the minds of all of them. Certainly not by using indictments or the May Rasmussen polls showing him having a better advantage against Trump.
Right. This is an absolutely worthless poll because it was taken too far back, and B, before the Republican smear machine just ate Bernie Sanders alive for 6 months.
That's right. That's right. And besides the fact that Rasmussen being the most high profile suspect in all of the pollsters who are Republican leaning, you know, they're obviously, I mean, every 4 years we talk about Rasmussen being weighted too heavily on the Republican side. So that's, you know, no wonder it's the Rasmussen poll. That should be a big enough indication right there. When you see Rasmussen, factor in that if you go look at the crosstabs, there's too much weight on the Republican side. That's just the way it is. So, I mean, this is not something that is unusual. We're not looking at something where the superdelegates are like, what are they doing? Oh, this is something so new and weird. They're clearly doing something in cahoots with X, Y, and Z. That is, no. And again, I really struggle. I took my time with this piece on Salon when I wrote it yesterday. Really took my time with it to try to make sure I wasn't being condescending or insulting. I was trying to be respectful to Bernie people. I mean, I'm really trying. I'm making the college effort to be as dignified as possible, where I took a bunch of time initially in the article, and I was complimentary of Bernie Sanders and acknowledging the successes of the campaign, which I've already detailed. And you know, you can't win.
No, you can't win.
And
if you don't say feel the burn, Bernie's going to win, then you are persona non grata.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I also heard from Hillary people who were saying, "Why are you complimenting? No, why are you complimenting him?" Like, because it's a smart thing to do. Well, and it's also objectively true. It's objectively true that Bernie Sanders, through his campaign and through his supporters, made things like single payer a debatable topic in the mainstream. Whereas you couldn't cajole cable news people to even look at the word single payer on a teleprompter without gagging a little bit. It just wasn't something that ever used to happen. And now it does. That's got to be a positive thing. The climate crisis, another top level Bernie Sanders issue, is now being discussed on cable news. That is important. That is historical. I think these are all things that, you know, you got to tip your hat to Bernie Sanders for being able to do. The fact of the matter, though, is that all of that can be ruined if he couples it with some ongoing bludgeoning of the process. And that cannot happen moving forward. I've never been one to say up until this point, up until today, the day of the big
California
primary. I've never called for Bernie to drop out. I've never demanded that now's the time. Never until this moment, when we have an AP decision, we have a major, you know, a primary today. There is the DC primary in a week, but today is, for all intents and purposes, the biggest two remaining primaries, New Jersey and California. And today's got to be the day. It's got to be the day. You know, and I really hope there's still part of me that's optimistic who says, you know what, he's going to give that speech tonight. And everything's going to be okay. A lot of the bluster, a lot of the stuff we've been hearing from Jeff Weaver, it's all about making sure that his supporters come out and vote today and do what they have to do rather than giving up. And I understand that as part of the strategy. But at some point, we've got to hear those words. We got to hear the words.
No,
I'm throwing my support behind Hillary Clinton because she will be the nominee as of the convention. And that's all that needs to be said. It's hard, and it'll be hard to hear for millions of people. I get that. I totally get it. And I understand. But these are the realities of the ball game on the ground. And not as if that's going to change anything. But, oh, well.
No. All right. It would be, I agree with you. I would love to think that up till now, all of this crazy bluster has been just politics.
Right.
And that he'll do the right thing.
Yeah.
Because there is only one right thing. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
I don't give a what your argument is, what your argument against that is. You're wrong. You're just wrong.
Yeah.
It's over. It's done. He lost. She won. Period.
Right. And the focus now has got to be shifting over to perpetuating the revolution, which I assume Bernie supporters will begin to work hard to get more liberal candidates elected at the state level, at the local level, to begin to participate in Democratic Party politics, try to change things there at that level. to do all the things that need to be done when you don't necessarily have a Pied Piper leading you down the road towards something. You can do it, keep it going. If you so firmly believe in this idea of a revolution, keep going. No one's going to stop you. In fact, you will only be applauded along the way. All right, another break, and come back with more show right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
California.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
The second half of today's show is brought to you by the bobseska.com Amazon link. Go shopping for dad right now at Amazon.com. But go in through the bobseska.com Amazon link and make sure to bookmark it. It's as easy as pie to bookmark the Amazon link, especially if you're buying pie. If you shop on Amazon, enter the site using our logo just below the logo at our link just below the logo at bobseska.com. We get a small commission from everything you buy, costs you nothing, and helps support the show. Okay, thank you. All right, now moving on here, I guess we can talk about the Rhode Island governor race in 2018.
Yeah. Because there is a dark horse candidate. Everybody needs, you need to move to Rhode Island just so you can vote for him.
That's right. Now, why are we talking about the Rhode Island governor race? Well, because someone has thrown his hat into the ring, into that race. And officially, well, we should say, let's say unofficially.
I said potentially, yeah.
Potentially. And it's, well, it's this guy. stooge to Alex Jones, sidekick to conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, Dan Bedondi has announced that he's running for governor of Rhode Island. Dan Bedondi, yes, will be hopefully the next governor of Rhode Island. So he tweeted this the other day. He's contemplating a run for governor of Rhode Island in 2018. That's what he writes here. Contemplating. Dan actually spelled contemplating correctly. Used it correctly, too.
Excellent.
Grammatically, contemplating works well in this sentence. Contemplating a run for governor of Rhode Island in 2018. Except he probably says, contemplating. He says, he likes to say countless like this. He says, countless. He says, contemplating a run for governor of Rhode Island in 2018. And then he writes here, Rhode Island needs a political revolution against its tyrant politicians.
Of course. Tyranny had to be in there somewhere.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not too early at this point for me to offer up my endorsement of Dan Bedondi for governor of Rhode Island in 2018. Absolutely. I think we should raise money for Dan Bedondi and make this come true. Because the longer Dan Bedondi is in public view, the more comedy we get.
Yeah.
And why not? You can contribute your money to Dan in the name of comedy.
Guess what, Bob and Jess? You're going to get evil scum.
You're not supporting. I don't imagine anyone listening to this show would support anything Dan has to say whatsoever. But in the name of comedy, I think your $27 donations will be perfect for Dan Bedondi.
Governor Dan Bedondi.
By the way, I tweeted to him today. I haven't received a response yet, but he tweeted this out, and I had to respond to him. He tweeted, he said, encouraging
California
citizens, if your lawmakers violate the first, defend it with the second. Resistance is victory. So, yes, Dan Bedondi encouraging his followers to resort to Second Amendment solutions.
Right, to shoot people. Yeah.
So he said here again, encouraging California citizens, if your lawmakers violate the first, defend it with the second. And says, well, Dan, are you encouraging your followers to resort to assassinations?
Yes.
And yeah, of course he didn't. Yeah. No, he didn't reply. Of course he didn't reply. What's he going to do? What's he going to say?
Yeah, Bob. Yeah. Shoot him in the face. So that's why if they're wearing Kevlar vest, you should still get them.
Shall not be infringed.
Shall not be infringed. Second Amendment shall not be infringed. Use Second Amendment's illusions to not infringe Second Amendment.
Whatever. Yep. So Dan Bonanni's running for governor. That's all good news. Okay, so we're going to, I know it was a short segment. We're going to take one last break. And when we come back, we're going to get into Donald Trump stuff. Lots of Donald Trump stuff to cover in the last remaining minutes of the show.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Summer music, pow, pow, power!
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
All right, I think we can officially open up the Trump campaign death watch. Jesus Christ. Trump's prospects getting worse by the day. The legend of the Phoenix. I mean, if last week wasn't bad enough.
Who knows? That's the problem. Yeah. I mean, I like to think that these are all campaign killers.
Yeah.
But who the hell knows with his, you know, with his audience. But yeah, I mean, he is just, it has been, it's really an implosion.
It is. It's a big time implosion. And I'll tell you why I'm starting to look at the Trump campaign death watch here. Is because, first of all, Mark Kirk, a senator from Illinois, retracted his endorsement of Donald Trump today. So he unendorsed Trump, which seldom happens in such a lockstep party. Yeah. And then the news came down right before the show that Lindsey Graham is also calling for fellow Republicans to unendorse Trump.
Strength.
Okay, so on May 23rd, Mediaite ran this headline. Lindsey Graham caves, quietly tells fellow Republicans to get behind Trump. 14 days later, Graham has not only done a complete 180, but he's telling other Republicans to unendorse Donald Trump.
Strength.
Just so we're clear on this, Graham went from hell no on Trump to maybe on Trump to okay, let's do this on Trump to abandon the sinking ship right now.
I mean, he said what, and one of the things that's really, you know, the party of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, the Democrats have been really, really smart about going on a very coordinated war path to tie Republicans to Trump.
Right.
Every time he does, I mean, especially with this, not I was going to say every time he does something awful, but especially with this, because, you know, Paul Ryan had to admit that it was racist. And it's like they've been really good about going on TV and hammering them and just saying, okay, you just said that what this guy said was racist. How the are you supporting him?
Yeah, exactly right.
You have to account for that. You have to account for your support of this person, of this monster.
Right. You know, before we continue on any further down that road, I just want to get out this Lindsey Graham quote here. He said, "This is the most un-American thing from a politician since Joe McCarthy," Graham said. "If anybody was looking for an off-ramp, this is probably it. There'll come a time when the love of country will trump hatred of Hillary."
Strength.
So they're actually calling for country over party for the first time, maybe that I can remember, which the Republican Party is actually looking at trying to preserve the reputation of the United States of America versus trying to preserve the reputation of their own party. I think it's there's a little bit of that there, too. But I think mainly they don't want this guy representing their party. They're starting to have serious, serious second thoughts with this whole Judge Curiel business, where Donald Trump is simply not backing down off of his very obviously racist statements. And when Republicans accuse other Republicans of being racist, that's a big, big danger sign. Because so seldom have we heard Republicans actually acknowledge even the existence of racism, much less racism that is legitimate another Republican.
No. They acknowledge it all the time because reverse racism.
Oh, reverse racism.
That's a real thing.
Reverse racism, yeah.
Reverse racism is a real problem in our society.
Yes, even though it's...
I know that from watching Fox and Friends.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Trump, meanwhile, said that anyone who sees racism... in his remarks about Judge Curiel, it's Curiel, right? That's how I've been pronouncing it. He said, anyone who sees racism in his remarks is the real racist themselves. He's saying, like, everyone's racist except me, basically.
That is, and you know what the best part is? That's like hearing Republicans try to slam that is hilarious because that's such a standard, such a pat Republican response.
Yeah.
Well, if you're calling me out for my racism, then you're the one who's racist.
Exactly. It's the I know you are, but what am I theory. Right. He said to Bloomberg, he said, the people asking the questions, those are the racists. I would go at them. Right? He also said, meanwhile, he said, regarding his own staffers, regarding information that Bloomberg had been receiving about the Trump campaign, Donald Trump said, are there any other stupid letters that were sent to you folks? That's one of the reasons I want to have this call. I guess Trump must not have realized that they were recording this call on the record. He said
he called out his campaign team.
Yeah.
And essentially called them incompetent. And of course, the best part about it is I don't agree with them, obviously, but they're not, if they're trying to rein him in, mm-hmm. they're not incompetent. They're the only ones trying really hard to do him a favor.
Yeah, but
since nobody knows better than Trump, that's all you can do. You can't stop him.
Right, but in his twisted world, anyone who's trying to rein him in are idiots. They're dumb stupids.
Right. Yeah.
He said, that's one of the reasons I want to have this call, because you guys are getting sometimes stupid information from people that aren't so smart. That's what Donald Trump said about his own staffers, people that aren't so smart. And I go back to one of the chief arguments made in support of people who don't have political experience, that, oh, they're going to surround themselves with experts and smart people. Nope. Well, when Trump himself is referring to his own staffers as not being so smart.
No, because that's what did I say before?
Yeah.
Knowing his personality type, the people he chooses to surround himself with, they will be idiots.
Yeah.
Because Trump has to be the smartest guy in the room.
That's exactly
Trump
right.
He's not the kind of person who aligns himself with, you know, the team of rivals or the team of intellectual giants
right.
that they feed off of each other. It's not that at all. Trump always has to be the smartest person in the room. And because everything for Trump, and you can see this in the way he treats people in that call right there, when, you know, the way he treated them, everything with Trump is a zero sum game.
That's right.
If he's on top of the world, the only way he can be that way, the only way he can be the smartest person, the richest person, you know, just the person with the best words, is that everybody else has to be the lowest.
The fact that he throws people out into the public view, like Haley Baumgartner, for example, that just shows that he's hiring dumb people, and he thinks, you know, it's kind of backfiring on him. I think he wanted to be surrounded by idiots and sycophants to make himself look smarter.
Yeah.
But they're actually, you know what? Yeah, Haley Baumgartner's an idiot. And Ben Carson, we know about Ben Carson. We know about some of the people who Donald Trump is surrounding himself with, and some of the people who Donald Trump has said will be members of his cabinet. And these are not very great people. But you know what? Some of them do have a little bit of political savvy, more than Donald Trump has. Donald Trump doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Donald Trump knows how to run a reality show, and that's how he's running his campaign. So anything to the contrary of that, anything to say, well, you shouldn't be running your campaign like a reality show anymore. This is the general election. This is the big leagues. You got to straighten up. He's like, well, you're clearly an idiot. You're fired. You know, this is, I mean, we're going to see this happening especially over the next several weeks, where we're going to start to see like massive firings of the Donald Trump staff. You know, people being replaced, new people being brought on. It's going to happen. He has no self-control. He has no discipline. He's not willing to say, you know what, there are people on this planet who know more than I do about foreign policy and domestic policy. Well, in all forms of policy, there is. No. There are people who are smarter than me. He's never going to say that. You know, meanwhile, there's this great new anti-Trump ad. He is just getting hammered from all ends. He's imploding just internally based on things that he himself has said. And now he's starting to get hammered. Now the gloves are off. The general election is really beginning in earnest, and he is beginning to get seriously hammered. Listen to this new anti-Trump ad that is hitting him for mocking Serge Kovalevsky.
Yeah.
This is a really effective ad here.
I remember being in the ultrasound room and finding out that our daughter was going to be born with a disability in spina bifida.
She was born 20 weeks later on Valentine's Day, and she is a total blessing in our lives.
Grace is the happiest child you've ever seen. Despite all of her medical challenges, she brings out the goodness in each person. And that's what we see every day with Grace.
When I saw Donald Trump mock a disabled person, I was just shocked.
You got to see this guy. I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
That reporter he is talking about suffers from a chronic condition that impairs movement of his arms.
The children at Grace's school all know never to mock her. And so for an adult to mock someone with a disability is shocking.
When I saw Donald Trump mock somebody with a disability, it showed me his soul. It showed me his heart. And I didn't like what I saw.
Priorities USA Action is responsible for the content of this advertising.
And they've been doing some great ads, the Priority USA. It's a Hillary super PAC. They've been doing some fantastic ads. And
he just deserves everything that's coming to him and more.
Yeah. And notice how many times in that ad they said mocking someone with a disability. They just kept hammering that because there's no way around that. There's no way to brush that off. I know that the Trump people, they're desperate to say, well, Obama once said there were 57 states. So but clearly Donald Trump can mock someone with a disability as if there's any sort of equivalence there. But what they're saying is, I mean, the defense of this is not the defense of what he's actually said. The defense is, well, he doesn't use a teleprompter, and Barack Obama uses a teleprompter.
Yeah, I mean, that's all they've got.
Hillary Clinton.
To this day, that's all they've got.
Hillary Clinton doesn't have her own words.
Yeah, I mean, she hammered him last week. She just beat him to a pulp. And all he could come back with was, crooked Hillary doesn't look presidential and she uses a teleprompter.
That's right. Jesus Christ. And then meanwhile, as if all that wasn't enough, he's being hammered from all ends. He's being hammered internally. He's hammering his own people, calling them stupid. Yeah. Meanwhile, Megyn Kelly went off last night. Trump is setting a precedent of chaos in our court system. Megyn Kelly really went hard on Donald Trump. Donald Trump's racially tinged attacks against the judge in the Trump University case and the people coming to his defense over it. In fact, Kelly not so subtly threw shade at Bill O'Reilly. An hour after O'Reilly declared that the judge should recuse himself to eliminate any appearance of bias. So because Donald Trump thinks that this guy's got a bias, you know, the judge who's from Indiana has got a bias because of his Mexican heritage and Donald Trump has the thing. No, no, no. Ridiculous. Kelly brought up that argument and said, that is not the way our system works. If a litigant, Kelly argued, making a stink about a judge necessarily resulted in a conflict that would force the judge to step down, it would lead to chaos in our court system. So all Donald Trump has to do is every time he gets a new judge, he has to say something offensive about something regarding the judge's ethnicity, sexuality, gender, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that judge had better step down then. I mean, that's all that's got to happen now. So every time there's a new judge, say this guy recuses himself. Say a female judge steps in. Say it's Megyn Kelly, because Megyn Kelly's a lawyer, and she's maybe, say, for example, she's appointed as the next judge in the Trump University case. Well, oh my God, well, there's got to be a bias because Donald Trump said something about her vagina.
Yeah.
And so now she's got to recuse herself. And then what if someone who has a single Muslim parent somewhere?
Yeah, I mean,
they have to recuse themselves.
Yeah, this is where we are. This
exactly.
is where This is what Trump has turned this country into.
Yeah, yeah. He thinks he can control the game by making these inflammatory remarks. That's his calculus here. Like, if I, you know, if I talk about...
He's like a guy who's going out for jury duty and what doesn't want to get it, so he says something racist.
Well, you know, it's so funny you brought that up. Because this week, for the first time, I think, ever, I was walking around and it popped into my head. You know, he's being so off the rails. It's almost as if he's deliberately doing it. It sounds, at this point, it sounds so deliberate that he's intentionally imploding.
Yeah, I said a while back, I wrote, months ago, I said, you know, is Donald Trump trying to commit campaign suicide?
Oh, yeah.
Because he, you know, I almost feel like he doesn't, there's always the possibility that you know, he did this as a lark.
Yeah.
To get, right. You know, to get back at Obama because Obama burned him in the White House Correspondents' Dinner and to, you know, prove to everybody that he wasn't just screwing around. And since then, you know, now he's a lazy ass.
Yeah.
And now he's in a position where he's actually going to have to work. He's actually going to have to do something.
Yeah.
And I think he might, there's always the possibility. I don't want to delve into that man's psyche. But there's always the possibility that, yes, he just wants out. He wants out. So he's trying to say the thing that will make him implode. And there's also the other possibility is every single thing he's ever said that is horrific, it just makes his fans love him more.
Right.
And if he is smart, if he does have a brain in there and there's a method to this madness, I can't help but wonder if he's thinking, dear God, what the f*** do I have to do to you people?
Exactly. And you know, one other thing on top of all of that, is if Hillary Clinton loses to this guy?
Oh, God. No.
I don't know. I mean, talk about a reputation-destroying event. I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, he's basically doing, at this point, he's doing everything he can to lose in November. You know, he's hemorrhaging money. I mean, it's now, like, his campaign is shoestring because he's still only using his own money. He's making these... I mean, just one inflammatory remark after another. Republicans, respected members of the United States Senate, are unendorsing him. I mean, the only thing he could do at this point to further hand the election to Hillary Clinton, and again, nothing's set in stone. She could absolutely lose this. But the one thing that he could do is to just, once he gets the nomination after the convention, is to drop out of the race.
Yeah.
And that, can you imagine the seismic charges that would be set off by that, repercussions of him suddenly dropping out of the race in the middle of the general election just because F it, he can do it, he's Trump, he's just gonna go home possible. And do his reality show, right?
It is possible.
It's totally possible. Good Lord, you know, anything can happen with this guy, and the general election is just getting underway as of maybe right now. Right now. Starting now. All right, the postmortem show is next. Sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the Patreon link at bobsesica.com. We'll see you over there. Bye-bye.